Bryce, come share with us what the Lord is doing through your ministry at Crossroads.
All right, well, it is good to be with you today. Let me get situated real quick. You've already met this part of my family, but I have a whole nother part of our family that is all grown up and out of the house. These are our two youngest. We have seven children, and so we are on the downhill slide. We are a few years from empty nesters, and yes, we are going to take a big vacation afterwards. Don't know where, don't care where, but we're going to go on it. But we are loving it. We do work with Crossroads Youth Works. We run that ministry out in Simla, Colorado. I don't know if you've ever been between Colorado Springs and Lyman, but if you've driven that highway, you have actually driven right by the building. It's right there on the highway as you go through Simla. Not a whole lot out there. I don't know if you've noticed that part of it. But that's why we're there. 25 years ago, we were asked to, actually another gentleman in his ministry was asked to start something there for the youth. That's where I came into the picture, was to help get that going. I was fresh out of college and didn't know any better and jumped right in and have been there ever since. People asked me, how long are you going to stay? I had that question asked like the first week I was there. How long are you planning on staying around here? Nobody stays around here very long. And my answer was, well, I don't know. Maybe next week. Maybe a year from now. I don't know. I guess until God takes me somewhere else. Well, 25 years later, we're still there. He hasn't taken us anywhere else. And it has been full of good times. It's been full of hard times, just like life. There's a lot of good that happens, but in the midst of a lot of good that God does, there's also that battle that goes on, that there's the rough spots and times that we've wondered, God, are you calling us somewhere else? And then he would bring something in or reassure us in a way, nope, I'm not done with you there yet. So just stay put, stick it through, and keep moving forward. And so that's what we've done. Crossroads works with youth, obviously, from first grade all the way up through high school. The whole town itself is about 500 or 600 people, but our school district is three of those small towns together, and so we work with just the youth of the area, and we do get occasionally people from Cowhand, from Lyman, from Rush, which is south of us, about half hour, 40 minutes, and so we work with whoever. We're kind of on the eastern plains, but it is our desire to just reach out to kids. Wherever they're at in their walk with the Lord, whether they know the Lord or don't know the Lord, that's why we're there. And we want to meet them at that spot and help them move forward. Help them grow. If they don't know the Lord, introduce them. If they know the Lord, what are you doing just sitting there? Let's get going. Let's move. Let's grow. Let's mature. And so that's what I want to talk with you about as we move forward today, is that's how we all need to be. Not just sitting on our duffs, not just go, okay, I've made it this far, I'm good. God, you take somebody else and use them from there on. I'm just going to stay at this point. And so here in a couple minutes, I want to talk more about that. But I left in our family, I left out a little bit. I left their names out and how we're beginning to grow because they are out of the house. My oldest two boys are Tim and Ben. They're 22. They're kind of all mixed in. I'll let you just guess on that. That picture is a couple years old, 3 years old, something like that. We didn't have a current one because it's impossible to get everybody together at one time for family pictures. But Tim and Ben are 22. Tim is in his senior year at University of Northern Colorado. He'll be finishing up next fall. He's kind of that odd. He won't finish up in the spring. He'll take an extra semester. Ben just joined the Air Force, and he's finishing up his training in California. And then he is married, and we have our first grandchild. She's 18 months old, and I'm still getting used to that I'm a grandparent. I love her, but I don't feel like a grandparent. But they're going to be in Cheyenne, Wyoming, stationed there once he's done in just a couple weeks. And then we have Michael. He's living in Kansas City, and he went to Calvary Bible College, Calvary University now, for a couple years, and then decided work was more his thing. And he is engaged and going to be married in April, so we're going to be going back there for that. Then we have Toby. He's the little smile kind of right behind my head, and he looks nothing like that now, because he's now 19 and in college, and he has changed a lot these last 3 years. So, but he's up at Colorado Christian and desiring to go into missions as well, and just loving growing and his professors and things. He's loving it up there. And then on the far left is Jade. She is our 18-year-old, and she is just working right now and trying to kind of figure out the adult life and how that works and how that doesn't work. And we get a call every now and then, and we go, yep, another lesson about to be learned. And so she's trying to figure all that out. And then we have Anna and Sierra, who are our only two high schoolers now. There for some years, we had elementary, junior high, and high school all at the same time, multiples in each. And it was nuts. So we're really enjoying just having some high schoolers and then our adult kids to kind of catch up with. It's a good time. And so so that is our clan. And it's been good. It's been good. During the year, when we work at Crossroads, right this time, and even during COVID, we have been moving forward. We're like, you know, life happens. So how do we work with it? And we have 5 different Bible studies that we do each week. We have one for elementary that's kind of sort of tailored off of Awana's. We didn't have the facility or the help to be able to do Awana's. And we went, what do we like the best? And so we kind of picked and chose. What we liked about the Awana program, we said, you know what, we can do our own thing. And so we've kind of tailored it, and we work with elementary kids each week. Even during COVID, we've been having anywhere from 25 to 35 kids, which is about a quarter to a third of the elementary school in Simla. So that's been neat. We have kind of our typical youth group Bible studies with our junior high and high school, where we play a game and we have snacks and then we have a Bible study. We've worked through Acts since last school year, because our seniors last year, they were like, you know, feels like church isn't what it was like with the early Christians. Can we take a look and see what the early church was like? What did they do? What did they not do? And so we started with that. COVID hit. We went online. We worked our way as much as we could. And then this fall, we decided, you know what? Let's keep going with it. And so we've worked our way all the way through the book of Acts and are just finishing up this past week, actually, helping the kids see, what is a Christ follower to be like? What was Paul like? How did he do things? How did his cohorts help him as he struggled, as he faced jail? What did they do? How did they continue reaching out with the love of Christ, sharing Christ, leading people to him and to grow? What did they do? That's how we ought to be. And so we took a look at that, and now we're going to be hitting questions with those groups. Just we've had questions anywhere from, like, why did God kill the dinosaurs? To, you know what, if God is a good God, why in the Bible did he have people killed? To, you know, just all sorts of different questions. And we're going to be taking those and just kind of helping our kids. You have these questions, don't just ask them. Search out the answers. Find the answers in God's word. What does he say about those different things? What does he say about, why doesn't God help me with my homework or the test that I didn't study for? Why did I still flunk it? You know, what's our responsibility in things? And so that's kind of what we do with our Wednesday activities is all of that. And then we do also have two other Bible studies for junior high and high schoolers. That is for kids. The youth group ones, man, that's for anybody. Saved, unsaved, you can grow, you can learn more about God in those. But then we have two other studies called Iron Men and Spaghetti Girls. Iron Men, you can kind of understand, iron sharpens iron. I'm not that creative. But Alicia is more creative, and she saw this thing a long time ago, how girls' brains are kind of like spaghetti. Everything's interrelated, and that's what it's about. Well, those two groups are for those that are believers, not unbelievers, but for believers who say, I want to go further. I like answering questions, but I want to really grow. I want to really mature in my faith. And so those take a commitment. We require people to be committed to attend those. And those are in the mornings before school. They come for an hour, and we serve them breakfast, and then they have a Bible study, and they have homework to do throughout the week to get into God's Word, so they're not just waiting for the next week to come back. And so those are kind of what we do during the week, every week, and we've been able to maintain that in one shape or fashion. We've been in person all school year this year. We haven't had to take a break at all, and thank the Lord for that. Our school has done well. But then during the summer, we kind of shift things, and we do trips and camps, and we partnered about 15 years ago with a children's home down in Mexico that we take annual trips. Some years we've taken two or three trips down to work with the children's home down there, just doing whatever they need. I mean, we spend time with the kids. We do outreaches in the communities as that's possible. But then we also do fix-its. We have built buildings. 1 year we built a church. We've redone things. Last year, 2 years ago, we weren't able to go last year because they shut the borders down a week before we left. And so we weren't able to go. But then we, 2 years ago, kids are hard on things. And it's even more so at a children's home where kids come from really bad situations. And so there's a lot of upkeep on their buildings, and so we rebuilt their several of their bathrooms that had just been destroyed by the kids. They figured out that the showers were kind of squishy on the bottom, and so if you jump, kind of was like a little, mini bounce house. And so they had cracked out the bottom of the showers, and water was leaking everywhere. So we were able to go in and rip those out and rebuild. And so we just do whatever they need done. And if we don't know how, we'll tell them. And if they say do it anyway, we'll try to find a book or something to figure out how to do it. And okay, here we go. So that's kind of what we do. It's kind of a youth group for the area because the churches there are very small. And so we're able to do a lot of things to help the churches that they can't do individually. And so for the last 25 years, we've just kind of kept doing what we've done. And as long as something works, we keep doing it. And when it doesn't work anymore, we go, okay, why doesn't it work? Can we fix it, or do we just need to boot it and do something new? And so that's Crossroads. That's what we do. But in everything that we do, we want to encourage those kids and the families to grow. I like to have fun, and we do a lot of fun things. But what's the purpose of it? Does it draw somebody closer to Christ? Does it reach out to those non-believers and introduce them to this is who God is? This is who Jesus is? Does it take those new Christians and say, okay, read your Bible, get plugged into a church, move in your relationship with Christ? And so we have a purpose for everything, and that's something we review too. Is this fulfilling any of our purposes to draw and grow people in Christ? And if it doesn't, why are we doing it? Let's do something else that helps. So today, what I want to do is kind of walk through the stages of growth Because these are the stages that we kind of model after as we encourage our kids to grow. And maybe it can be an encouragement to you. Maybe you're stuck somewhere in your relationship with Christ and not really moving forward, not really growing. Or maybe you go, I'm growing, but how do I keep growing? And really, it's based off of Jesus. I mean, what better to base it off of? And his disciples, I mean, they were a squirrely bunch. I mean, they would jump in to things, and he'd go, whoa, slow down, or they would be scared, and he was like, hurry up, you know? But he walked with them and helped them grow. He called them, and they're like, what am I doing following you? I have no idea where we're going, what is happening, who are you? And so he would help them wherever they were at, draw them to himself, and then encourage them to grow, and then he sent them. He didn't just say, oh, good, you're mature, go sit in a pew. He sent them. He said, okay, now you do it. You make disciples. You encourage people to grow. You help them mature. And we're here today because of that. So I think, you know, maybe we ought to model after that. There's a book called Four Chair Discipling by Dan Spader. And it kind of talks about this, and it uses the illustration of four chairs. And I forgot what time we started. There's a glare on that even. Yes. All right, I'm sorry, guys. He said it, not me. But he uses the example of four chairs. And so I want to walk through those four chairs because it's a really good picture of this. And let me get there. There we go. The first chair is a non-believer. It's the come and see. It's when Jesus said, come, follow me. Look at what I'm doing. Look at who I am. And when he would preach to the masses, he would tell them, follow me. The first chair is somebody that doesn't know Christ yet, that doesn't know him as their Savior. John 1:39 is where he kind of says, come, and I'm not going to be in, just to apologize now, I'm not going to be in one specific passage today. I'm going to kind of jump to several different passages. So if you want to just listen, that's fine. If you want to try and catch up as we go along, that's fine. I'm good with whatever. But John 1, says this. He said to them, and this was when the people were asking, Rabbi, where are you staying? He's like, come, you'll see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And then it goes on. He was like, come, check it out. Some of our activities are that way. We reach out to all kinds of kids. We have the solid kids. But the majority of the kids aren't. The majority of the kids that are coming this year don't have a church home. Many of them, in fact, we had two little girls, very first day of Crossroads Kids, first graders, I think, weren't they? Alicia was trying to get everybody's names written down and figure out who people were, because there's a lot of new kids this year. And this one little girl stood up and just announced to everybody, I've never, ever been to church in my whole entire life. And we're like, well, good, we're glad you're here. This isn't church, but we're glad you're here to hear about God. And the little friend next to her stood up, me neither. That's a lot of who we reach, are those kids that have never been to church. Maybe their parents won't let them go to church, but yeah, that's a youth center, you can go. And so we kind of become church for them. We encourage kids to be in there and plugged into a church. And we know there's a difference between what we do and what a church does and just the church family. But for now, we're their church. And so we have kids like that. We have kids that have come from an atheist background, from a Wiccan background, from a Mormon background, just all sorts of different backgrounds. We have kids that are there strictly for the fun, and kids that are there to learn and frustrated with the kids that are strictly there for the fun. But we're like, you know what? Come and see. Come and see who God is, and we want to show him to you. So we have this first chair over here, and pretend with me that it's a camp chair. You know those camp chairs. They're handy because they're cheap. But because they're cheap, there's a reason they're only $6 at Walmart. They break. They fall apart. You throw them away, you get another one, and you know, a month later, you throw that one away too. That's where the lost are. They're in a broken system that just does not work. And the majority of them don't know that there's even another option, that there's another possibility of having life. So they keep sitting in that broken chair, and they keep just trying to make it work. I mean, how many people do we know in life that are that way, whether it's kids or adults, that are just broken? But they're just trying to make do, make it by, make it work, and they don't know the good news of Jesus. They don't know. Well, that's our job to share. And that's what we're doing. It's exactly that. Trying to draw those kids in so that we can share. Those chairs can be pretty comfortable, but totally undependable, and they will break. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 says this. But as... How did I get to Titus? Holy smokes. You know, these things are really handy sometimes. There we go. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and of the spirit. That is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. That's something that we've got to remember. We were all in chair one at one point. Because as a Christian, it can be easy to start looking down at those people and, oh man, I cannot believe they're that. They're only doing what they understand. That's who they are right now. And so we need to reach out to them and realize I was there once. I didn't know Jesus once. I was lost in my sin once. I was trying to do brokenness on my own once. But now I'm not. They need to hear. They need to know. And that's a job for all of us as believers. But that's where they're at. That's all they know at this point. We all know the verse, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That includes everybody. Nobody is beyond needing Jesus. And nobody is beyond Jesus. Nobody is so lost that they could never be forgiven. I mean, Paul, we looked at him all this past year. Talk about a horrible man. Talk about an evil, wicked man thinking he was doing God a favor in the things that he was doing. But in a moment, God changed him, and he was never the same. And that brings us to chair two. Now, picture with me now, kind of the recliner kind of chair. Man, it is so good to be in something solid. I was lost. I was broken. I needed something, and I didn't even know what it was. But then Jesus saved me. I don't know about you guys, but I still remember the day that I was saved, because I was one of those that thought I had it all together, thought I had it all figured out. I was doing all the right things. I was one of those very lost church teenagers who thought I had it all figured out. I was going to youth group. I was leading things. I was telling people how they could be saved. But I didn't have Jesus myself. And every night, I laid awake in bed, terrified that if Jesus were to come back, what would happen to me? But I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Surely I'm saved. And it wasn't until in college that I truly trusted in Jesus and I recognized, man, I really don't know him. And that feeling, when he came into my life and saved me from my sin, it was just a release. I mean, that feeling, I could just sit back and go, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And we need that. We need that peace. We need that just understanding that God saved me. It wasn't what I was doing. This was all him. Oh, that recliner. But the problem is sometimes that recliner can get very comfy and we never grow and mature. We can get so comfortable in just resting in Jesus that we don't take him at his word where he says, go and make disciples. Where he says, you know what? Crave pure spiritual milk, but don't stay on milk. Grow up. You should be on, you know, like Paul talked about, you should be on solid food, but you're still on milk. I'm having to give you bite-sized pieces, baby-sized pieces, when you should be able to cut up a steak and eat it yourself. We need to continue growing in that relationship, not just sit in the recliner and say, feed me. I mean, think about it. You all have probably had kids. Most of you, I don't know. We've had seven. Ours didn't come conventionally, except for one. But we had babies. You give them a bottle. They mature from a bottle. You start giving them food. They start taking the spoon themselves and feeding themselves. And it's a mess. It's a mess. Sometimes you say, no, I want to keep feeding you. It's just easier. I don't have to clean up after you. But that's part of growing, right? You know, once we have Jesus, it can be messy. I mean, because you don't know him that well yet. You've just been introduced to him. But you don't stay just introduced to him. I mean, how many of you still sit in a high chair and have somebody spoon feed you saying more, you know, and crying when you don't get it? How many in church today are still sitting in their high chair, their Christian high chair, telling pastor, feed me more, and never growing? We need to be maturing in our walk, maturing in our faith, helping one another grow so that we can begin to help others grow as well, reaching out to the lost. And then when they are saved, walk with them in their new journey, spoon feeding them, then encouraging them to grow on their own, then encouraging them to start helping others grow. And that brings us to chair three. Matthew 4:19. He told the two brothers, Peter and Andrew, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. At that moment, they were over here. Follow me. They began following. And I'll make you fishers of men. The third chair is maybe kind of one of these chairs. Still comfy, but can't kick back and relax. I mean, you can only take so much time sitting in those chairs and you're ready to stretch your legs and move around because the back's straight. You know, pews are even worse. You know, thank the Lord when they invented these kind of chairs you could hook together. And man, growing up, my back hurt as a kid. But these are believers, the third chair, are believers who are actively growing, who are actively getting into God's Word. They're plugging in at church, coming to Bible studies, but they're also reading the Word on their own. They're also beginning to reach out and say, hey, I have a friend at work. I have a friend at school. I have this person. They need Jesus. Maybe I should tell them, since I know Jesus too. And they are beginning to reach out to them. There's a student who no longer lives in Simla, but a couple years, he's kind of in this chair. But a couple years ago, he was not. He was a Christian, because that's what everybody is. You know, aren't you a Christian too? Everybody's a Christian in America, right? Whew. And he was introduced to Christ. And he came to know the Lord. And one of my sons actually had the privilege of baptizing him after he was saved. Because one of my sons was very influential in sharing Christ with that teen. And so that kid, he had a Bible but had never read it. He had been to church when he was really little, but he and I were able to start meeting together. And he began to grow. And he still struggles, and you know, he's still fighting through some things. But he'd started desiring to grow. And isn't that what we want? Somebody to desire to grow. And he asked me, I don't really know how to pray one day. And so we were able to talk about that. And we went to the Lord's Prayer. I said, you know, now, you know, it's great to pray this prayer. But it's kind of an outline of how do you pray? What things do you pray for? And we walked through that. And I began to, as we would meet together, began to say, you know what, why don't you lead us in prayer? And his eyes would get that big, and I'd remind him, you're talking to God. You're not performing. Okay, I can talk to God. Baby steps. But maturing, growing. We have another girl who, I tell you, the last 2 years we've lost a couple of really good crops of kids that have graduated and moved on. This girl, she started coming to Crossroads as a first grader. Very first week, her parents called us afterwards and said, my daughter does not ever want to come to Crossroads again. That is not what you want to hear. And I don't know, somebody had told her, you need to learn this verse or something. And she was very timid and very scared. And she took that as she was in trouble. And we were afraid we were never going to see her again. The next week, she came back, all timid still. Are you going to give it another shot? Yeah. And she stuck with us. And she stayed coming to Crossroads all through high school, all through junior high, all through elementary. And she graduated this last year, desiring to go into missions. That's what our goal is. That's what our goal is. This chair is kind of the teenager stage. It's the stage of not a child, but not a parent. Figuring things out. Still learning from teaching from others, but also learning to study for themselves. That's where this girl was all growing up. And now she's going, you know, I think God's calling me to be a missionary, maybe. That's the fourth chair. We'll get there in a minute. But they're growing deep, and they're beginning to grow wide, reaching out to people, sharing with others. This is where it starts to get scary, because this is where it starts to be more, you're out there. You can't hide who you are. You can't hide your relationship with Jesus. And it can be very tempting to say, man, it was so comfortable just being over here. I'm going to go back here. No, that is possible to just sit there, but that's not what God calls us to do, how God calls us to be. God calls us to be fishers of men. In that Matthew passage, Jesus says, I'll make you fishers of men. Not, come follow me, go do it. But I'll make you. I'll train you. I'll grow you up. Luke 6:40 says this. A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. Ultimately, our teacher is Christ also. Ultimately, it comes from his word. But he's told us, you know, go and make disciples. We can't save people, but we can walk alongside people along the journey. That's what we're to do. Watch your teacher. Do it with your teacher while your teacher watches. Do it again. And then go. Lead. Train others. Show others the way. Go and bear fruit. John 15:16. Jesus told his disciples, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, go and love one another. So that fourth chair, we have the growing believer here. The fourth chair is the person who says, I need to train others. I need to not just witness to people, but as they come to Christ, I need to walk alongside them. They see the importance of that. They see, you know what? You may believe, but are you walking the walk? Are you growing in your faith? I need to help people with that. Need to talk with my neighbor. Maybe we can have a Bible study. I need to walk along that coworker that the life is in the dumps right now. But maybe I can share Christ and they'll come to know him and I can help them grow. So this would be more of the parent of these chairs. Not a baby, not a teenager anymore. More leading others. Still growing. Still, I mean, definitely plugged into church, but possibly leading a Bible study. Possibly leading a small group. But in whatever way, they are on mission. It's not just about growing me. It's about helping others grow. And this is kind of where we want to end up. But there's a lot of hiccups along the way. There's a lot of things that can get in our way, our own selfishness, our own desires, our own fears. You do not know how many people have told me through the years that we should not be going to Mexico in the summer times because it's too dangerous. There's cartel down there. Well, you know what? Yeah, there are. In Simla, about 5 miles south, there's also cartel. But they don't think about that. They're stuck in the fear rather than what's God calling. There's a quote, and I never get it quite right, but it goes something like this. It was a general, I believe, in maybe the Civil War or something like that, that basically said, "I'm as safe on the back of a horse in the middle of battle as I am at home asleep in bed when I'm in the will of God." Now, that guy did not say he was safe. Is there really safety anywhere? What his point was is wherever I am, God has me, as long as I'm in his will. So that fourth chair, think of it as more of a stool. You don't want to fall asleep because you're going to fall off. And you're going to be moving. You're going to be going. You're going to be doing. You're going to be active in the body. Not just growing, not just learning, but active. Actively reaching out. Actively helping others grow. Actively encouraging. Actively leading. That's fishers of men. That's when Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world. That's, you know what? I don't care what I'm doing or where I am, as long as I'm doing and I'm where God wants me to be. A lot of people asked me years ago, "Why are you going to Simla?" A lot of people in Simla asked me, "Why'd you come to Simla?" It's because that's where God told me to go. I had other churches looking for youth pastors that invited me to come. And they were in Butte. One was in the Ozarks. This is my kind of area. Ozarks was my kind of area. And I wanted to go. But God was telling me, no, there was nothing wrong with the church. But God just, you know that feeling. I knew that's not where I was supposed to be. Then I visited Simla. I love Simla, but it had nothing physical that was drawing me. Nothing. But I knew without a doubt that's where God wanted me. And I could not explain it to people other than I just have a peace. I just know. So I'm going. I'm trusting. And we'll see how long he keeps me there. That's how we ought to be as followers. That's how we ought to be in our jobs. God, you have me here. I'm earning a living. But how are you going to use me here? How do you want me to reach out to people, my coworkers, my bosses, my customers, whatever? School. Okay, God, school stinks, but I got to be here. How can I honor you at school? How can I show Christ to my teachers? How can I show Christ to my friends? Can I pray with them at lunch? Can I start a Bible study? Can I reach out to my Mormon friends and get into discussions in class with them? We've had a lot of those the last few years. It's been really fun to listen to the stories about how a Mormon, a Christian, and an atheist, sounds like the beginning of a joke, got into a discussion in the middle of class, and the atheist, or maybe more agnostic, was the teacher. And they got into a discussion in the middle of class, and the rest of the kids were just kind of listening, going, "Well, can you do that here?" And they talked about Jesus, and they had an open conversation about what it means to know him. That's how we ought to be. Jesus told them, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you would go and bear fruit." That's our goal with Crossroads. That's why we do what we do. I tell the kids, "You know what? I like playing games with you guys, but that's not why I'm here. I want to show you Jesus." That's why all of us ought to be where we are, is to show Jesus. We ought to be imitators of God. Back in Ephesians that we looked at earlier, I believe, verse 8 says, "You were formerly in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." That's my encouragement for you. You know, we so appreciate you guys partnering with us, and that's how we see it. It's a partnership, and you may never meet those kids. You're welcome to come out and visit, and I would love for you. But you may never meet them, and they may never meet you. And you know, most of those kids think that our little snack shop that makes 20 bucks a week pays for the whole thing. And I tell them, guys, our snack shop pays for the toilet paper. Really? Well, how did you stay open? You know what? There's a lot of people that love you guys that you'll never meet. And so they help. They partner with us so that Alicia and I can be here to reach you, to talk with you, to share with you, to spend time with you. It's a partnership. And we thank you for that. We so thank you for that. But I'd be failing if after sharing all of this to not just remind you, you know what? I went to school, or I went to church a lot of years without knowing Christ. And when I came to know Christ and shared with my church, there was a lot of older folks that told me I was the same way. I didn't know Christ for many, many years and thought that I was a Christian. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you know what? Being a Christian is not about coming here. Being a Christian is not about praying or reading your Bible, even though that's part of the growth. Being a Christian is knowing Christ. If you don't know Christ today, if you have not trusted Him as your Savior, don't put it off. I received Christ in the bathroom of the chapel at college. It's okay to receive Christ after many years of thinking you did. So if you're in that spot, I would love to talk with you afterwards. Your pastor, I'm sure, would absolutely love to talk with you. Don't worry about the shock. Don't worry about what other people might think. That was my big concern. What will people say? How will they look at me? No, it's about knowing Christ. So if you're in that spot, we would love to talk with you today and show you how you can truly know Him as your Savior and not just be wondering. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your word. Thank you for just how you work in believers' lives and how you desire to grow us, how you desire to mature us, and how you desire to send us out to do your work on this earth. Lord, we don't know how much time we have left. We don't know any of that. But Lord, you've just told us to trust you and to go and to use what we have for your glory. So Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for their partnership. I thank you for them being willing to be used in this way. But Lord, even more than that, I pray that you would use each individual to do your will in their daily life, to reach out and to help others, to reach others for your sake, and to help them mature in you. Lord, I pray that you would help each of us to have an eternal focus rather than a physical focus. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.